Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as many of you know, we've been talking a lot about gun laws on this show since the Newtown massacre. PBS has been doing a concentrated look into this week, issues related to gun violence, and joining me now to compare notes and talk about some of these various issues and to take your calls is PBS NewsHour correspondent Hari Srivanasan. Hi, Hari. Thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And listeners, many of you probably weren't thinking much about gun laws before Newtown, so we'll open the phones now and ask how your thinking about the issue has changed since the incident. We'll talk mostly about background checks and a few other things and play you some amazing audio from the PBS series. But give us a call. How has your thinking on the gun law debate changed since Newtown? 212-433-WNYC, our on-air number, 212-433-9692. That's not our pledge line. Hari, one striking piece to me this week that I saw on your website was about public opinion toward universal background checks, a review of recent polls, which found not only support, but overwhelming support, like 80 to 90%. I mean, 90% of people in America can't agree that the sky is blue.
That's right.
Are you shocked by those polls?
You know, it is pretty interesting. I mean, the New England Journal of Medicine and Johns Hopkins basically pulled out this survey, and it said, you know, they're not the pollsters, but they looked at these comparisons. 90% of non-gun owners support requiring universal background check. 84% of gun owners do as well, and so does 74% of NRA members. So, I mean, you kind of see that at least public opinion, whether members of Congress listen to their constituents or not, is certainly building towards at least one of the president's provisions.
If 74% of NRA members supports that provision, do you think the leadership of the NRA since Newtown is making itself look like a radical fringe, even to its own members?
Well, I think it depends on where their funding primarily comes from. And while they have a very broad base of folks who support them, that might not be the same group of people who have an undue influence, I guess, inside the organization. I mean, there's been a lot of reports, including a Rolling Stone article that kind of looks at how the focus of the NRA's funding has really shifted from a large membership organization to one that's really supporting lots of initiatives by the gun industry.
And I want to play a couple of clips, one of Vice President Biden, one of the New York State NRA leader on this program. But 40% of gun purchases today escape background checks because they're considered private purchases. And I think both sides tend to say the term gun show loophole, which we hear all the time, is a misnomer. If you buy from a dealer at a gun show, you need a background check. But if you buy from a private seller anywhere, you don't. So the issue isn't gun show loophole per se. It's private sellers, wherever they may be. And here is 1 minute of Vice President Biden talking about that in Connecticut near Newtown yesterday.
We need universal background check system. Universal. Every single weapon sold. Up to 40% of the guns that are currently purchased through private sales that don't require background checks. If we change that, we can help significantly reduce the number of guns that end up in the wrong hands. We need to make sure that states who have all the records of the felons in their state, all the records of the fugitives in their state, all the records of those who are adjudicated mentally incapable of owning a gun in their state. But there's tens of thousands, probably, we don't know the exact number, millions of those records that never get to the national database. So when you go to Dick's Sporting Goods store to buy a weapon, buy a gun, and your name gets run through, you may be a convicted felon in Montana, Delaware, New York, Connecticut, Florida, and your name never comes up. So you're sold the gun.
So Vice President Biden in Connecticut yesterday, and here's a very different kind of minute. And it's an example from our program of how the NRA is trying to use the language of private sales to maintain the loophole. This is Thomas King, the head of the New York State NRA affiliate. And those of you who heard the segment a few weeks ago know this got pretty hot as he argued against universal background checks this way.
We are for, background checks of everybody who's purchasing a gun, you know, at the, which is state law, by the way, in New York, at gun shows and all of that. But to to say that I can't leave or give a firearm to my son without him having to get a background check, I can't live with that. That's not a
Not
the way things are done in New York State and in the United States.
Mrs. Lanza gave a gun to her son without a background check. Was that a good idea?
No, you're not. That is not what she did. Those were illegal guns because he killed his mother and stole those guns. And I'm tired of the press spinning that to say that these were legal guns. They were not legal guns. And she didn't give them to him. Those were her guns.
Thomas King from the New York State NRA affiliate on our program a few weeks ago. And, Hari, let's unpack a few pieces of that. It may be true that Adam Lanza stole his mother's guns or at least took them without permission. Obviously, he killed her. But it was reported that she taught him how to shoot, took him to a shooting range just days before, according to CNN. He had access, even though she had the permit. And so from a legal standpoint, which was really what I originally asked the guest, the larger point to me is that she could have legally transferred a gun to his ownership without someone with his problems getting a background check.
Right, or having any sort of a permit or any at a state or anybody else knowing that he would have possession of a weapon like this.
And if Congress gives them that loophole, I could see the nature of gun sales changing to be more like Tupperware parties, you know? So instead of selling plastic casserole dishes in their living rooms, people will be selling Glocks and AR-15s to buyers who have a reason to want to avoid background checks. They just won't be called gun shows. Can you see that happening?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Is the NewsHour had a crew at the nation's gun show. We talked to several different people, and we'll publish that content fairly soon. But the amount of transactions that happen in the parking lots of gun shows or across the street from gun shows are not necessarily accounted for in the kind of official statistics, where the licensed dealers, as the president of the NRA says, might be doing a very high volume of transactions inside the building. It's actually not that difficult. As we found, as Colin Goddard, who's a survivor from the Virginia Tech shootings, has found, to make these private purchases of AR-15s, of ammunition, of whatever you want, in cash transactions without a background check at these private sales. So I think perhaps there's a slight spin on the idea that private sales at gun shows are equivalent to handing a family heirloom down to your son.
And another thing on your site right now is an interview with a teenager whose mother wrote a very viral article called I Am Adam Lanza's Mother. And what she meant was that her son, age 13, I think, has an emotional condition where he is prone to rage, including threatening rage. And so here's about 1 minute of this 13-year-old whose name you change and whose face you black out to protect his privacy. This begins with a question from your reporter, Miles O'Brien.
Tell me what it's like. I have really enjoyed your company. I mean that. I'm not just saying that because you're fun, you're quirky, you're funny, you're interesting. You've got a lot going on. What happens when you have a rage?
Your mind goes blank. You think about nothing but getting revenge on the people that have hurt you. You lash out and do violent things. It's very hurtful. And afterwards, you may be incredibly tired and basically depressed.
Wow.
You feel really bad about it, but you know that there's not really anything you can do to make up to the people you hurt during those incidents. And you can't control yourself when you're like that, and no one else can. When you get like that, you just want to get the heck away from anyone in the area. It's kind of like a werewolf. When a werewolf turns into a werewolf, it doesn't know who he is. It doesn't know where he is. It just wants to hurt and fight people.
The son of Liza Long, who wrote the widely read article, I Am Adam Lanza's Mother. And besides, and our guest is Hari Srivanasan, PBS NewsHour correspondent, who's been looking a lot at the gun issue for them. And Hari, besides the heartbreak for all involved in that family, listening to that clip, were there policy or public health practice implications that you take away from that piece, other than that I would sure like him to be subject to a background check someday before he buys a gun from someone in a private sale?
you know, throughout that piece, as well as several other pieces on Frontline and Nova, I mean, what you end up seeing is that there's just a massive gap in our mental health kind of infrastructure. And how is this child cared for throughout the system? Should this, is there even a capacity to institutionalize someone? Is it right to medicate them or over-medicate them? I mean, it's, you know, the frustration that you feel by watching this mother who literally has to take all her knives and scissors and sharp objects and put them in a Tupperware box and carry them with her in her car because her child has pulled a knife on her. It's just really, I mean, it's tragic, but you also see these massive holes in the system, and including in Adam Lanza's case as well.
Let's get to a few of our callers. George in Brooklyn has a pertinent question. George, you're on the air. Hello.
The question is the question I always seem to not get answered, not here, but where did they get this number about 40% no background check? Who did the research for this?
It's a great question, and I think the NRA denies that number. But it is the widely reported number. I see it on all the major networks. Vice President Biden used it in that clip. Did you happen to run down that number as part of your PBS research?
Sorry, which one, the 40%?
That 40% of guns are sold without background checks.
That's an interesting. I think that the folks that have been pushing it a tremendous amount have been the Brady campaign, but it's also been the administration that's been using it. So whether the administration's cherry-picking stuff from an advocacy group or not, I think that this is the – and the NRA also says that 90% or the president of the NRA has been on the air in January saying that, you know, he disputes that figure, and the bulk of gun show sales are all through registered dealers, and everyone there has a background check.
Elizabeth in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I actually had a question. This is something I've been wondering about. I saw the Afternoon Town special with the woman who wrote I'm Adam Lanza's mother. I think it's amazing. And you see a mother there who's responsible for her son and understands, you know, the state he's in and what she has to go through to protect him from others. And I just don't understand why there are dram shop laws where, you know, I work in the restaurant industry and I can be held, you know, personally liable if I sell a drink to someone who then goes out and hurts themselves or someone else as a result of, you know, alcohol intoxication. But there can't be that same kind of liability to those who sell guns. It just seems weird to me that nobody,
right,
that doesn't happen.
I guess it's hard, and Hari, what do you think? I guess it's hard to draw an exact parallel because I guess you could be held liable as a bartender, restaurant worker, for serving a drink to somebody who already looks overly intoxicated, therefore already looks threatening. And how do you tell that when somebody just walks into a gun store? Unless there's something you do know about their background and you choose to ignore it.
You know, yeah, it's interesting. There's while there are folks that say, for example, who are really opposed to any sorts of restrictions on gun ownership or background checks, they'll say, no, we don't have a gun problem, we have a madman problem. And you kind of follow up with the question, well, how do you determine who's a madman and who's not if there's no background check system, right? So it's a kind of catch-22.
Right. And I thought one of the powerful things in the Biden clip that we played was when he referred to the fact that these things are not being reported by states into the federal database. I think that may actually be a point of agreement between Joe Biden and the NRA, that once people are deemed mentally incompetent to own a gun, that actually needs to get into the database that's used for the background check. Before we run out of time, I want to get to one other powerful thing in your PBS series, which is a special narrated by Sam Waterston about potential incidents of school violence that are actually stopped. So here's about a 30-second excerpt. This is Kenneth Trump, president of the National School Safety and Security Services.
We collected data from 2000 to 2010, and when we went back and looked at that, more than 120 plots had been thwarted or averted thanks to school security, school resource officers, and school administrators. And what we find is that the hidden story is not the Columbine or the Sandy Hook that does occur, sadly enough, but how many incidents have been prevented and interrupted that could have been another Sandy Hook or Columbine. But the public will never know about that.
Hari, what do you learn from that?
You know, I think it changes the nature of our conversation a little bit, because while we do end up focusing on the anomalies, the ones that are successful, so to speak, the Columbines and the Sandy Hooks, it was kind of shocking for me to hear that and say, wow, I can't believe that in 10 years, 120 different attempts have been made at schools all across the country, that this is actually, unfortunately, more prevalent than we hear about, because we really don't make as big of a fuss about all of the situations where students are trying to either get attention or take revenge or try to take these steps.
Hari Srivanathan has been one of the reporters looking intensely into gun-related issues in a series of specials on the PBS NewsHour and elsewhere on the network this week. And I see that tonight's episode in the series, this is on the NewsHour, right, has to do with guns as a public health issue?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. So we've got, exactly. So PBS has been doing stuff on Frontline, on Nova, on special documentaries, as well as the NewsHour. So if you basically Google the words after Newtown, you'll find a link to everything.
Right. And you would think that would be an uncontroversial topic, guns as a public health issue, but that's been one of the successes of the NRA to get the Centers for Disease Control to stop collecting data on gun-related deaths and injuries and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that piece tonight. And thank you so much for coming on. It's been really informative, and I appreciate your analysis.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our next guest, former Vice President Al Gore.